our Bibles tonight to Revelation chapter 1. We'll just read a couple verses here from Revelation chapter 1, starting at verse 12. It says, "And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks." Again, he turned to see the voice that spake me. The voice and the person are the same. And this voice is the voice of the Lord Jesus that he turned to see. Says, "I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle." And we'll be focusing a pretty good amount here on verse 13 tonight. Verse 14 says, "His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes as a flame of fire." And we'll also hit a little bit of verse 14, kind of getting us ready for the next few verses. Verse 15 says, "And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength." So we will just kind of pick up here in our study in the church ages as we just kind of focus a little bit. And we go a little further. Tonight is about the prophet, priest, king, and judge. So let's just kind of review a little bit from last week. We read verse 10 and 12 last week, and it says, 10 through 12, I should say, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day." And again, what we found thus far is the being in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day is a day that's coming. This is man's day right now, but the Lord's Day is a day that's coming. And Brother Branham said that now we as Christians just get handled any kind of way that people want to handle us. But as we get into the Lord's Day, amen, that's God's day, and we won't be handled, manhandled or mishandled then. We know the Lord's Day is also not Sunday or Saturday or any of that people have tried to make it, but it's a future day, you know, future day that's coming. When people also talk about the day of the Lord, and we'll go over that again, but when we talk about the day of the Lord, that is actually a day of judgment. So when John was talking about being in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, he wasn't talking about being in church on Sunday or being in church on Saturday. That's not what he was talking about. But these are future events that he's seeing, and God is showing him this for our edification, so we can know, you know, what to expect now and what we can expect in the future. This whole book of Revelation is a book of symbols, but as we're going through our study, we're going to be able to uncover most of these symbols because God's prophet did that for us. So verse 10 again, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and he heard behind me a great voice, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw the seven golden candlesticks." Now, one of the quotes that we read last week, and I'm only going to read a portion of this, Brother Branham said, "The greatest of all the revelations is when John turned to see the voice, this voice began to share something with him." And Brother Branham said, saying, "I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and last, not an announcement of the second party or the third party, but the only party. I'm both Alpha and Omega. Before I show you anything, I want to let you know who I am." Amen. And he says, "The greatest of all the revelations is the deity, or the supreme deity, of our Lord Jesus Christ. You can't get to first base until you believe that. So the greatest revelation that you could ever receive is a revelation that Jesus Christ is God. He is God, the deity of Jesus Christ, right? He is God. When now the whole world is looking at the birth of a baby boy, and everybody, you know, got their manger scenes and all these other things like that. And we're so glad of the birth of this baby boy. But people need to understand it was not just the birth of a baby boy, but it was God himself coming to earth. And he had a very specific purpose for coming. That was to become our kinsman redeemer, because he alone is the only one that could die for our sins. He alone was the one that could bridge the gap between God and man. And that's what he did. He took on the flesh of Jesus Christ, and he bridged the gap for us. So the supreme deity, when you get a true revelation of that, actually a lot of the rest of scripture just begin to make sense, right? All of it. That's the first, you can't get past first base if you can't see that Jesus Christ is God. And there's many that would tell you, oh, yeah, Jesus Christ is God, but it's still three different people. No, that's not what we're saying at all. Jesus Christ is God, and there's only one God, not three. There's only one, right? Just manifests himself in three different offices, but Jesus Christ is God, and the spirit that was in Jesus is the same spirit of God that now dwells in us, you know, so... But the greatest of all revelations is the deity, supreme deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. All right. John did not say it was a trumpet. And I think I got something on this. Let me see. Now, yeah, I think I am going to read something. He didn't say it was a trumpet, but he said it was like a trumpet. I want to read a couple things on that. And then we'll go on. We read this quote last week from the Patmos vision, and then I will also read another couple quotes from the Message Revelation chapter 4. Here in your church age book, page 48, in paragraph 2, it says, the voice like a trumpet, Revelation 1:10, and heard behind me a voice, a great voice, as of a trumpet. John was in the spirit. And when he saw the great and wonderful day of the Lord Jesus and all his holy power. The future was about to unfold, for God was about to teach him. John did not say it was a trumpet. He says it was like a trumpet. Now, when a trumpet is blown, it has an urgency about it. It is like the herald, the king's messenger, coming to the people. He blows on a trumpet. It is an urgent call. The people gather to listen. Israel was always assembled by the sounding of a trumpet. Something important is at hand. Listen to it. So this voice had the same urgency of appeal as did the trumpet. Clear and strong it was, startling and awakening. Oh, that we might hear the voice of God as a trumpet this day, for it is the gospel trumpet sounding forth the word of prophecy, to make us aware of and prepare for what is coming upon the earth. It's to make us aware of and prepare for what is coming upon the earth. So John heard a voice that was like a trumpet, right? It wasn't a trumpet, but it was like, and that's just kind of giving clear instruction. It's a gospel trumpet that's sounding, and it's sounding forth the word of prophecy to make us aware of and also get us prepared for what's coming on the earth. Let's go on to this next quote here in Revelation chapter 4. And actually, there's another one in Revelation chapter 4, part 1, part 2. Here in part 1, it says this, the voice, let's speak on that voice a minute. I got some scriptures wrote down here. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 4 and let's just listen over here what this voice is going to say. Oh, we all know what it's going to say without, for we read it, don't we? We know what's going to happen. The trumpet of God shall sound. And the dead in Christ shall rise. Is that right? You who are putting it down in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17, the voice, that voice was the voice of Christ. Is that right? The voice of Christ. For the trumpet of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air and forever be with the Lord. The same voice that summoned John, come up, The same voice that said to John, come up, is the same voice that will summons the church someday. Amen. Summons the church. Also, the same voice that summoned John to come up is the same voice that summoned a dead Lazarus out of the grave. That same voice of the archangel. Christ is the voice of the archangel. Voice of the archangel. See, so, oh, that trumpet voice of Christ summoned John to come up. The same voice summoned Lazarus. Did you notice at the grave of Lazarus, he spoke with a loud voice. Not just said, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth. It summoned him from the dead. And he answered, here am I, and he come from the dead after he was dead and his body rotten. That same voice said to John, come up here, I'll show you some things that's fixing to happen. That same voice that shall sound when the dead in Christ rise for the trumpet. What is a trumpet? The voice of Christ, the same one sounded and summoned him up. He heard the voice like a trumpet sound and said, come up hither. See how the resurrection will be? It'll be in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That clear sounding voice, and he'll summons the church calling, come out of it. That great summoning voice, God, help me to hear it that day. Now, that's why I said earlier, this voice that John is turning to hear, and the voice is a person, the voice and the person is the same. And this voice that John is turning to see, the voice that spoke to him, that's the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that same voice is speaking to us, calling us out of denominations, calling us out of the world. It's the voice of Jesus. The voice of Jesus could speak through other people. Right? That's why, you know, when we got to be careful when we hear people, think people say we're listening to the voice. We're not just listening to Brother Branham, just to listen to Brother Branham. We're listening because we're trying to hear the voice of God speak through the prophet. That's what we're trying to do, right? And the same thing with, you know, even when you come in the church, you're listening to see the voice, hear the voice of God speak through the minister, right? That's what you want to hear, not just to come hear my voice. What is God going to say through that voice, right? Because the only hands that he have are our hands. The only feet that he has is our feet. The only voice that he has is our voice. But it's the voice of Christ that we're listening for. Not the voice of a man, but the voice of Jesus Christ. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Here he goes on to say this in Revelation chapter 4, part 2. It says, that's the same thing that takes place right here. The church was taken up into heaven, and John now is brought up as a type of the resurrected, as we took it last night and find out that this same voice that summoned him to look back on earth was the same voice that summoned him to come up. Oh, every Christian, the very voice, Charlie, that summoned you one day down there in Kentucky to turn around is the same voice that will summon you, come up. Aren't you glad of that, Brother Evans? The voice that said, turn around, the same voice said, come up. Oh, my, there, what a summons, what a reality, clear, distinct like a trumpet, turn around, serve me, come up to where I am. And thank God that we've heard the voice of the Lord Jesus speak to us. And some of us probably been in some situations where, man, if we took one more step in that direction, we might not be sitting where we are tonight. But the voice of God that was saying, no, that's enough, stop right there. That same voice that spoke to us then and we responded to it is the same voice that's going to call us out. It's the same voice that's speaking to John here when he says, I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. All right, let's go forward here. All right, you'll recognize that voice when he calls, and this is the only way you're going to recognize that voice when he calls, and that's if you are one of his own. Remember Brother Reggie came a few weeks ago and he told us, he said the reason that we could recognize the voice of God in the message, right? The voice of God calling in the message through this truth that God sent through his prophet. The reason we could recognize the voice of God is because we heard that voice once before. And he brought the scripture out, say, well, the scripture says, my sheep know my voice. And a stranger, they won't follow. It's just like when a baby is born, that baby could come out and of the mother's womb and everything, and you just put a whole bunch of women in the room, right? That baby would know who its mother is. never laying eyes on the mama once before, but that baby would know the mother based on the voice, right? Just based on the voice. That's how that baby knows who his mother is. And we identify with Christ because we know his voice. We heard it before. We was with him before the foundation of the world. We know his voice. And there's no one that can deceive us otherwise. Amen. I thank God that we know the voice of the Lord. My sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Church, it's good to be covered in a promise like that. With all the, I hate to say it this way, but I got to say it. It's just the way I feel. But all the nonsense going around regarding the truth of this message, right? When I heard this truth, I could easily identify with it. I've been raised in Baptist, been raised in Pentecostal, seen a lot of that. But when I heard this truth, I identified with that. And that was the voice of God speaking, reminding us of who we were, and things that I never heard before, but I certainly could identify as I was listening to it. That's the voice of God that we identify with. So we're grateful, very grateful for that. Let's go forward. I like that. You recognize that voice when it calls if you are one of his own. Also, if you can ever really get to see blank, you will be seeing blank. Well, the answer to that is if you can ever really get to see the Word, if you can really get to see the Word, you will be seeing Jesus. People sitting there praying, they want, Lord, I want to see you. Open up his Bible. Open up the Bible. You will see the Word. If you can ever really get to see the Word, and that's why you got to have that that first revelation, you got to have the revelation of his supreme deity. Then you can understand what the rest of the Word is saying. But if you can ever really get to see the Word, you will be seeing Jesus. Amen. All right, we talked about the lamps, because it said, I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and we brought this out. It was lamps. They were not just candles. Candles have they would just burn down, right? But this had a lasting quality about it. It lasted through as long as the oil has been poured in, those lamps is going to stay lit, right? And we talked about the order of how the lamps were lit and that set in those seven lampstands. And what the prophet told us, that the priest took fire from the altar and he lit the first lamp, right? And that's how he lit the first lamp. And after he took the fire from the altar and lit the first lamp, then the first lamp had to actually light the second lamp, because the second lamp was lit from the flame of the first lamp. Right, that was the same fire that lit that first lamp now is lighting the second lamp. And then the third lamp would actually get its lighting, or it would become lit from the second lamp. And then the fourth lamp would be lit from the third lamp. And the fifth lamp would be lit from the fourth lamp. And the sixth lamp from the fifth lamp. And the seventh from the sixth. But it was the same fire going all the way through. That's why I said last week, what we see in Scripture from the days of the Ephesus church, which would have been the day that after, Pentecost and so on and so forth there in the Scripture, the book of Acts entirely, what we see in the book of Acts is what we should be expecting to see here in the church. Amen. We should not settle for anything less than that. And I'm one that believes that, as we said in previous lessons, we're not looking for it only in the pulpit. The whole congregation is holy because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. And God has the preeminence to move on his congregation whenever he wants to. Amen. We're not saying that we're going to do things out of order, but we certainly expect God to move in his congregation the way that he desires to. I believe we're just coming to a spot where we got to learn how to yield ourselves to the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Don't be afraid of the Spirit. Yield ourselves to the Spirit. Gifts are in this church. Gifts are in this church. We don't have to go looking for them. They already here. We just got to get people to yield. Satan fight us so much from trying to yield to the Spirit of the Lord. I mean, and we ought to want to see God manifested here. We ought to want God to use us in whatever way he desires to use us. So I believe that, and I'm going to keep preaching it till I see it all manifested right here in this body. I believe that, church. Glory to God. Glory to God. And I don't believe it's just on one person. I believe it, the whole body is anointed. The whole body. Glory to God. Amen. So that same fire that was lit at Pentecost, we're still burning from that same fire today. We're still burning from the same fire, so we should expect the same results. Brother Branham made the comment that denominations which are man-directed cannot be born of God. Denominations which are man-directed cannot be born of God. It's just truth that the denominational teachings will never get us to this spot of perfection in Christ, right? People can go and just have a good time in church, but if that's all you want, that's fine. But if you really want to become more like Christ, you're going to have to hear the pure word of God, right? So denominations which are man-directed cannot be born of God. He also goes on to say, in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, the question was, is your life dramatically depicted in the seven golden candlesticks? And the answer is yes. If you are a believer, it's depicted. Brother Branham made the comment there on page 52. We read this last week, but I want to read it again. Page 52, paragraph 3 in the Patmos Vision. It said, not only can we speak thus of the messengers, but every true believer is dramatically depicted here. They are all drawing from the same source. They have all been dipped into the same bowl. They are dead to themselves, and their lives are hid with Christ in God. They are sealed in by the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. No man can pluck them out of his hand. Their lives cannot be tampered with. The visible life is burning and shining, giving light and manifestations of the Holy Ghost. The inner, invisible life is hidden in God and fed by the Lord's word. Satan cannot touch them. Not even death can touch them, for death has lost its sting. The grave has lost its victory. Thanks be unto God, they have this victory in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. So again, our lives are also depicted in the golden candlesticks, the way that those candlesticks get their oil and stay on fire because the oil that's pouring in, our lives also stay on fire because of the same Holy Spirit oil that anoints us. Amen. Praise God. We find that the messengers, their ministries are also depicted in the golden candlesticks, or the lampstands, I should say. Also in that, in your church age book, Brother Branham said, how thrilling it is to think, that's paragraph 52.2, how thrilling it is to think of those seven lamps drawing life and light from the resources of that main bowl because they had their wicks dipped therein. Each church age messenger is depicted here. His life is on fire with the Holy Ghost. His wick life has been immersed in Christ. Through that wick, he is drawn the very life of Christ and by it gives out light to the church. What kind of a light is he given? The very same light that was in the first lamp that was lit. And right on down the ages to the present time of the last day messenger, the same life and the same light is manifested by a life that is hid with Christ and God. There are so many things in Brother Branham's ministry. If you really just studied them out, there's so many things that happened in his life that was actual pure scriptural, purely scriptural. The simple thing of pick up your pen and write, that wasn't the first time that happened in the book of Isaiah, right, with a prophet. Just recently I was sharing a story about Brother Branham. He was looking for, God had told him he was going to get a brown bear. And he went to, he was telling everybody, thus saith the Lord, I'm going to get this bear just like God told me he was going to give me the grizzly bear, and he got the grizzly bear. They say, God told me I'm going to get this brown bear. So right before he went to go get the bear, God had told him, showed him in a vision everything that he was supposed to do in order to get that bear. Well, when he got there to the spot where he was supposed to get the bear, he did something totally different than what the vision told him to do. And so God allowed him to see the bear, but would not let him shoot the bear. So, you know, somebody had asked me a question about, well, show me in the Bible where God gave thus saith the Lord to a prophet and told him that he could, you know, get something, and then it didn't pan out. Well, I thought about it and prayed about it, and then God showed it to me. He said, well, Moses had thus saith the Lord that he was going to take the children of Israel out of Egypt and take them to the promised land. However, Moses did not take them into the promised land, even though he had thus saith the Lord that he was supposed to take them into the land. Not only that, Moses also had thus saith the Lord to the people the Israelites in Egypt. That group was supposed to go to the promised land. They did not go in. He received them thus saith the Lord. They did not go in. Their children are the ones that went in, and their children were born in the wilderness, not in Egypt. So two situations, two clear-cut, examples of people that received thus saith the Lord, and it did not come to pass, right in the Bible. You know another other thing that happened with Moses? God allowed Moses to go and see the promised land, but didn't let him go in. Guess what? God allowed Brother Branham to see the bear, but couldn't get it. An exact type of what happened in Scripture. That's why we got to be very careful with all these things that people are saying, because if you don't align your thinking the proper way, before you know it, you'll push your Bible to the side, right? That's why I take Revelation, church. It really take Revelation. Otherwise, you'll be like, I just can't understand that, right? And the only way you're going to hear his voice is you got to be one of his. That's just bottom line, right? So thank God. If you can see those things in Scripture, you ought to thank God for that. Thank God for it. Don't take it lightly, church, that you have revelation. Don't take that lightly. All right. We hit this last week. The difference, again, in the day of the Lord and the Lord's day, because John said he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. The day of the Lord is when the judgments fall, and after that comes the millennium. The Lord's day is when the days of man are over. All right, let's go forward here. We're going to get into Revelation 1:13 and 14 here in a little bit. A few more slides, and then we'll go from there. Okay, it says here in Revelation 1:13, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. Now, so clothed with a garment down to the foot. It says that in verse 13. And the question is there any symbolism here? Because remember, Revelation is a book of symbols. And when we see this in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one likened to the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. Well, what is this symbolism all about? What it means is that he had complete authority from head to toe. Right, he had complete authority from head to toe. This being clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about the paps with a golden girdle meant that he had complete authority from head to toe. I'm not sure that the color may not show up very well on this, but what I want to just kind of show is the picture of this. You see this man, and he has hair like wool, and you can see the garment there, just over his shoulders, this garment here. All right, he's dressed like a judge, and it's showing that this is the girdle tied about the shoulders, right? That's the girdle that's tied about the shoulders. He's dressed as a judge. So when Brother Branham makes the comment, just make sure I'm not ahead of myself on this. Yeah, okay, on the next screen, we'll share a quote with you. So he makes a comment in the Church Age book, very short statement here. It says, even the world understands the symbology. For in ancient times, a judge would appear and convene court dressed in a white wig and a long robe that signified his complete authority, head-to-foot robe, to mete out justice. I remember Brother Peter Chandler one time preaching, because over in England, their judges actually still look like this. So, you know, he'd say that you'd be, maybe your neighbor's a judge, but maybe it's a holiday, and he invites you over, and you all are eating and just having fellowship around a table, and so on and so forth, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful time that you all enjoy. But on Monday, you have to go to court, and that same neighbor is your judge when you go to court. Say, well, when you go to court, that man is not thinking about the good time y'all had over the weekend, right? What he's thinking about is that I got law that I have to follow here, right? I have law that I got to follow. So whether you're my neighbor or not, if you broke the law, you're going to do the time. Well, if a man can do that as a natural judge, then the same thing happens when our Lord Jesus Christ becomes judge. He's not talking about the good times we had. Did you follow my word? Did you do this? Did you do that? And if you can say you have to answer no, then you're going to have to just deal with the judgments that come from that. See, so you don't want to meet Christ as judge. You don't want to meet him in that manner. I tell you what, I want his grace. I want his mercy. But I do not want to have to deal with him in his law. So make sure you're living according to his word so you don't have to deal with him in that manner. Because you no good thing you can say, ain't one good thing you did to change that at that point in time. Now accept the blood of Jesus Christ as a propitiation for your sins. Amen. Look. So Revelation 1:14 says his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And we're going to get into that in a little bit, but again, you don't want him, all this is symbolic for something, but you don't want to meet him when his eyes are as flame as fire. You don't want that, not at all. A little bit further we go. His head and his hair, white like wool and white as snow. Brother Trevor just put this. This person sounds really old. It must be the Father, not Jesus, right? Well, let's read in our Bibles. Let's turn our Bibles to Daniel chapter 7 and verse 9 through 14. Let's just kind of read this because Brother Branham gives us that in the church age book. Daniel 7, verse 9 through 14. Talk. See, this is another thing. When we talk about it being the Lord's day, and we talk about the day of the Lord being judgment, well, the Lord's day is when he has complete control. I mean, like I say, people have picked at the Christians now, but they won't be able to pick then. That's a day where now he's moving into a judgment seat. Right now we got a mercy seat, but one day that mercy seat is going to become a judgment seat, right? We want to make sure things are right in our hearts before that happens. But here in Daniel 7, verse 9 says, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands, thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were open. And I beheld, then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. All right, so his head and hair were like white as wool and white as snow. Now, the question is, this person sounds really old, must be the Father, not Jesus, right? Well, let's just kind of get an answer to this. Why is his hair white like wool, and white? His head and his hair was white like wool and white as snow? Brother Branham makes the comment in the original preaching of the church ages, In the Patmos vision, he said, now notice the first thing we notice, his head and his hair was white like wool. His head and his hair was white like wool. Now, it does not mean that he was aged. That did this. That, it doesn't mean that he was aged. That wasn't the reason of it. He wasn't aged to do this. It was because of his experience and qualification and his wisdom. Because he's eternal, and eternal cannot age, right? So even though the scripture call him the Ancient of Days, this is still God, eternal God. He cannot age. He does not get old, right? That's not God. But this is representing, you know, this hair, white like wool and white as snow, is representing his experience and qualification and his wisdom, right? His experience and his wisdom, that's what this is representing here in the scripture, his experience and his wisdom. Let me tell you something. I ain't found nobody can pull one over on God. Amen. They say you can fool yourself some of the time, and you can fool others some of the time. I'm sorry, you can fool others some of the time, but you can't fool God and yourself none of the time, right? You can fool others some of the time, but you cannot fool God or yourself none of the time, right? You can't pull one over on God. I don't care who you are, right? You can pull it over on other people, but you can't pull one over on God. You know, I mean, there's people, man, they are professional liars. Professional, right? I mean, they lie so good, they believe they don't lie, right? But they know deep down within that it's a lie. They know, and God knows it is too. So, you know, get out of that practice of lying and trying to get by with it. I done seen people do it. My God. And I've seen people lie and don't even have a reason to do it. It was not going to help them in any way. It wasn't going to hurt them in any way. But they just did it just to do it. Don't even make sense. That's a bad spirit. That's a really bad spirit. Brother Branham said, I'd rather be a friend of a drunk than a liar any day. Amen. So don't. When you see that spirit coming around, run from it. Run from it. Tell the truth. That's how you overcome that one. Amen. So here, his hair were white like wool and white as snow, is representing that that he was he had experience and wisdom. This is his experience and his wisdom. The eternal one does not age. I think I want to read. No. I think we're good there. That's fine. So his head and hair, white like wool, and as white as snow. Notice the judge's wig there on the top of his head, white like wool. It doesn't mean that he's old. It's a symbol of experience. Now, it used to be a time, and I don't know if this still exists, but, you know, in order to be a judge, even here in our courts, you didn't just decide you wanted to be a judge. You had to be a lawyer first, and a good lawyer. For a considerable amount of time, you've actually done some cases, so you've gained some experience before you actually become a judge, right? Amen. I'm sure our Lord and Savior has all the experience that we can ever imagine, that anybody can have, more experience than anybody. He created it all, so he's going to be a just judge. All right, look at this. In Acts 1, verse 9 through 11, it says, "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." I wanted to read that. And also there in Daniel 7, there was a verse that we just hit. And let me just get that again. Talks about the cloud coming to Daniel 7. Verse 13 says, "I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. One like the Son of Man, all right, came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. And as we also looked at this, when Jesus Christ was here on the earth the first time, he had risen again, and there come this time where he actually began to just ascend, you know, from the earth. And the scripture says, when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Now, also notice this. It says, while they were looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, two angels. It says, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. So now, as he was going up, it was as a cloud received him out of your sight. So they're saying, now the same Jesus is going to come back, right? And there would be, if he's going to come back in the same manner as he went up, then we saw in our day another cloud. And remember, Brother Branham made the comment that when this happened, those seven angels that formed the face of Jesus, it was a cloud that was in over Arizona, so many miles high and so many miles wide. When that cloud was there, they had it actually was a different, if you turn it to the left, then that's the way that it came when most people took the picture. But the prophet had to tell them, turn the picture to the right. And when they turned it to the right, that's when they saw that it was the Lord Jesus. It was the face of the Lord Jesus, right? So I believe that these scriptures were being fulfilled when these things were occurring. I want to read a quote here out of the Message Ashamed. Brother Branham gives us something here in the Message Ashamed. This message that we follow is a vindicated message. We're not making this up. We're not just following it just to be different from all the other denominations, but we're trying to get back to the Word of God. And this message has been vindicated by God to show that it's the right thing. Now, there are many people that question whether the cloud, they don't question whether the cloud happened. They know the cloud happened. What they're questioning is that whether it was angels or whether it was a jet engine that did it. And from my understanding, that the jet couldn't get that high as to where this was. And the other thing is that how did it still make the face of Christ and all of that? How did we get Christ out of all of it, right? So it's the same spirit in the land today that was in the spirit that was in the land when Jesus Christ was on the earth. When Jesus rose again, they came up with a lie to tell everybody that his disciples stole his body. Well, why are they still doing the same thing that Jesus did, you know, if he's still dead? No, he must be alive, because we're seeing the same miracles, the same signs, the same wonders. He must be alive, but he's living in the midst of his people. So it's the same spirit, church, and we don't have to prove the message. It's already been proven. It's already been vindicated by the Holy Spirit. God just wants us to only believe. Here in the Message of Shame, the prophet says this: you see the picture the other day, how he turned that picture sideways there, and the very picture of those seven angels being lifted up, turned it to the right-hand side, and there is the face of the Lord Jesus looking down to the earth again. You remember when I preached the seven church ages, I couldn't understand why Jesus standing there with a white over his head. He was a young man. I took it back in the Bible. It said he came to the Ancient of Days whose hair was white as wool. Jesus was only 33 and a half years old at his crucifixion. I called up Brother Jack Moore, a theologian. He said, oh, Brother Branham, that's Jesus in his glorified stage. Said after his death, burial, and resurrection, he turned to that. That sounded all right for a theologian, but it didn't go good. It didn't hit the something. I went up there and started on the first church age. There the Holy Spirit revealed it. Now you got it right on your church ages. I guess the books will be out pretty soon now, the full detail of it. And it showed that Jesus was judge. There is a white wig that they used to wear. Put a wig on and wear it as a judge. England still does it. When you got supreme authority and that turning sideways in this picture, there he is, his black hair. You can see it in the side of his beard and the white wig gone. He is the last of the authority. He is supreme authority. Even God said so himself. This is my beloved son. Hear ye him. Which means that Christ has supreme authority. And there he is with them angels. The message, which was the seven breaking of the seven of them seven seals that reveals serpent seed and all these things here. And it shows that it is his very covering. It is his supreme authority. He is supreme and he is wigged or covered. The Bible said that he changed his countenance or he changed himself in morphe. The word comes from a Greek word in morphe, which means a Greek actor that plays many parts. Today he is one thing. In the next act, he is something else. He was God, the Father, in one act, God the Son, in another act, and then God the Holy Ghost in this act. See, there he is. His word is still supreme. We're living in the last days. And we see that, amen, when we just go back to that picture there, we see that the seven angels that form the face of Christ, that was further proof of what Brother Branham was teaching in the church ages, that it was the Lord's day. John was in the spirit on the Lord's day, but that's the day when he had supreme, complete authority. You know, the days of man is over with. Now he's judge. He's judge. The Ancient of Days, he's judge, right? He's our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is judge, and that's what's getting ready to happen. That's getting ready to come upon the earth. He's leaving the mercy seat. He's becoming judge. All these things are representing his judgment. Amen. Glory to God. All right. Always remember this. Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New Testament. Amen. All right. Also says here in Revelation 1:14, his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. The prophet says this, think of it, those eyes that were once dim with tears of sorrow and pity, those eyes that wept with compassion at the grave of Lazarus, those eyes that saw not the evil of the murderers who hang him on a cross, but in sorrow cried, Father, forgive them. Now, those eyes are a flame of fire, the eyes of the judge who will recompense those who reject him. That means those that reject him, they're going to get their pay for rejecting his word. Also, there's a couple other quotes that I would just want to read here, and we'll finish this off tonight. In your church age book, I just read paragraph 54.2, that quote there. But 54.3 says, of all the human emotions, he manifested the most when he appeared as the Son of Man was this one. He wept often. Yet behind that weeping and that sorrow, there was still God. Amen. Behind all that weeping and that sorrow, there was still God. Amen. I'm one that I don't want to frustrate the grace of God. Amen. I don't want to make his grace a disgrace, right? You know, and I think we can do that. We can go so far, we just frustrate the grace of God. We just cross the line. We cross the line, and that's just it. When we think about all that God does for us, we ought to want to give everything we can for him. Here, paragraph 55, one, page 55, paragraph 1 in your church age book, he says this, those fiery, flaming eyes of the judge are even now recording the lives of all flesh, running to and fro throughout the earth. There's nothing he does not know, nothing that he does not know. He knows the desires of the heart and what each one intends to do. God already knows what your intentions are. There's nothing hidden that shall not be revealed, for all things are naked before him with whom we have to do. Think of it, he knows even now what you are thinking. Yes, there he stands as judge with flaming eyes to mete out judgment. The day of mercy is over. Oh, that men might repent and seek his face in righteousness while there is yet time, that they might make his bosom their pillow ere the world dissolves in the fire. I think we all need to see the things of the world dissolve in the fire, and we make the bosom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ our pillow. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. So next week, we have just some weekly reading for this. I want to encourage you to go back and read Daniel chapter 7 and also read pages 52 through 58 on the Church Age book. We'll start going through that. We're starting to get into the sevenfold glory of his personage. That's what this is all about as we get into this section. We're kind of getting into that sevenfold glory. Again, we're seeing the supreme deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. John being in the spirit, things are starting to turn towards judgment. We're starting to pick that up in these next verses. So as you read that, you'll hear a little bit more about what Brother Branham had to say and as he reveals each symbol there in the Church Age book. If you don't have a Church Age book, you'd like to get one, just make sure you see the brothers afterwards, and Brother Jeffrey can get you one. Also, just wanted to make mention, if anybody desires to, we're also teaching this. We're a little further ahead in our, we're teaching this in Sunday school as well, but we're a little further ahead in the Sunday school class, and we do have we have lessons that we actually do, homework lessons that we actually do, but it actually reinforces some of the learning that we're getting. Very important. So if you desire to be a part of that, 9:30 on Sunday mornings, we're doing that in Sunday school as well. So let's bow in a word of prayer. We'll close this section out. Father, we're so appreciative of Revelation. Thank you, God, for just sending a prophet to help us to see the things that we see. So many that still run from the book of Revelation. But Lord, things are becoming clearer to us because we're able to hear your voice through this. And we pray, Father, that you would continue to just draw us closer as we hear the word. And we pray that you just continue to open up our understanding and all the things that we are that are presented to us. We want to be solid in the word. We want to be solid in our stance and in our faith, because Lord, Satan is doing everything he can to disrupt the church. But God, help us to remain strong. And the only thing that will keep us strong is Revelation. You said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. And that rock that you built the church on was the rock of Revelation. So help us to stand firm, God, as our prayer in this hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.